Good morning, everyone. For those that don't know me, I am the marriage pastor here. My name is Larry. And it is a privilege to be able to share with you this morning. Please pray for our pastor. Always pray for him. Pray for us as the leadership. I just want to tell you that God loves you. Do you know that? God loves you. More than you can ever think or imagine. My topic today is abiding in branches. In response, we love God back because he first loved us. We want to abide in that love, and that's what this message is all about today, abiding in Jesus. So let's bow our hearts. Father God, thank you so much for the privilege it is to hear from you, to receive from you. The love has no, that this love has no comprehension, really, Lord. We as mere men, mere humans, can only receive, and it will build as we abide in the vine, Lord. Pray today, Lord, that no one here would leave here not knowing that you love them. That they would understand and grasp a hold of a little bit more of your Lord, love towards us, Lord. We do lift up our pastor. We pray you would touch him, minister to him, minister to his family. And today, Lord, we just ask right now that your Holy Spirit would fall fresh on this place, that we would recognize that you're in our midst. And we love you back in response, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I just did two weddings this weekend, and the second wedding was, I was waiting for the Lord to really minister to me and give something special to the people, the two that were getting married. And the Lord said, just tell them that I love them. And that's what I'm here as an ambassador, as an agent to Jesus to let you know. If you don't know that yet, I pray that by the Holy Spirit, he shows you today that he loves you very much. Turn to John chapter 15. And we'll start in verse 1. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bring forth much fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. He repeats again, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. We've been learning about that through Revelation every Sunday, what takes place of non-believers. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask and what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. You continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I ask or I command. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his master is doing. But I call you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Sit on that for a minute. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and have ordained you, that you should go forth and bring fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. You know, I remember before me getting saved, and the Lord just gave this to me, that I didn't know of that great love of his. And the things that I was going through, one of the scriptures that he gave me when he was opening my understanding was, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I shall give you rest for your souls." He's the only one that can give rest for your soul, because he loves your soul. I'm so excited because the more I walk with Jesus, a little bit more he gives me of his love. He shows me more and more each and every day. Because I abide. I try to abide. Yeah, things of the world come in and crash in sometimes. It gets weary. But he says, "Come to me. I'll give you soul to your rest for your souls." Going back to verse 1, he is the true vine. Jesus said in 14:6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. Jesus doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You've heard that from this pulpit many times. If he changed, we would have no stability. Every branch in me, he says, that bears not fruit, he takes away. That doesn't mean he throws you away and burns you. No, it says he raises you up. He lifts you up from the ground. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For a just man falls seven times and he rises up again." Matthew 12:20, quoting Isaiah, "A bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not water out or quench." So those who are weak today and weary, don't worry, God still loves you. He knows, and he has a plan for you. He's got you here today. We forget sometimes. We forget all too often the weariness of this world, the trials that we go through sometimes. We forget God's love for us. But look where we're at today. We're in the presence of his people. We're in his presence. And he wants to minister to us and remind us. We need to be reminded over and over again how much he loves us. Verse 3, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." We are being washed by the water of the word. You know, husbands, I'm going to speak to you guys for a minute. In Ephesians, it tells us that we need to wash our wives in the water of the word. That is to love them. Unconditionally. Abide in me, and I in you. See, we can say that we abide in Jesus, but does Jesus abide in us? Are we keeping what he gives us? Because he's not only speaking this, Jesus is not only speaking this to us, he's demonstrated it. God demonstrated his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the greatest demonstration that anybody could demonstrate. Dying to yourself and esteeming others' needs before your own. That's what Philippians tells us. And by the way, that was Romans 5:8, where the sacrifice of Jesus for us is made to enlighten us of his love. Verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except that abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me." We can't bear fruit of the Spirit, fruit of God, unless we abide in him. You know, we can walk around and we can say, "I believe in Jesus." We can walk around and we can tell everyone that we believe in Jesus, but when it comes down to it, are we acting out? Are we doing what we say to be true in our hearts? Are we a doer of the word and not just a hearer, repeating what we have heard, but being a doer? Because actions, as us parents, those who are parents, actions speak louder than words. You know, your children will grow up and, well, mom and dad told me this, but I never seen it happen. Don't let that be spoken of you by any means. And I have made mistakes. I have said things and my actions didn't follow the true love of the correction that I said I was bringing to my children. He repeats again in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. That is nothing we can do outside of Jesus for his kingdom. Nothing at all. The I am here comes out in a personal word, me, and the claim of all power unveils the omnipotent. Jesus is saying it's me. It's Jesus. Jesus alone, omnipotent. I am. I'm the existing one. I am. Think about that. I am the vine. I am the vine. I am the way, the truth, and life. Wow. Isn't it crazy that the God of the universe, God of all creation, and we're the only ones to reject him, would reach out and still want to shed his love on us? That's his desire. That's what we were created for. That's what this whole ordeal is about, is for him and us to fellowship, to have as like a husband and wife relationship, to walk together, to talk, to be friends. I don't think any of you would shun a friend, let alone your husband or your wife or family member. Family is very sacred. And guess what? We're the family of God. This is sacred. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. I think we've heard more than enough of that for the past few weeks in the book of Revelation. That's why we need to be praying. We need to be praying that we stay abiding. We absorb God's love. We respond to God's love by being doers of his word, being his hands and feet, reaching out to a lost world that has no hope. Look, if Jesus wasn't stable and if he changed, we would have no stability in life whatsoever. We'd have no hope. And that's the anchor of our soul, because we have hope in Jesus. Then he goes, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, this is a key verse, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. This doesn't mean, see, oh Lord, well, make me a millionaire. Give me everything that I desire. No. When you love Jesus and you abide, you start finding yourself, and you probably do, start praying for others, God's will to be done in their lives, for his love to shine forth, even through us, to them. That's the will of the Father. It's ask whatever you will. That's the will of the Father. Jesus said, not my will be done, but your will be done. He demonstrated it there too. Again, Philippians 2, dying to ourselves, esteeming each other's needs before our own. That's being an agent an ambassador of Jesus. God is glorified by the life we live for Him. Don't live like the world or love the things of the world. Because what you do is what is reflecting what's in your heart. And we all need a cleansing. That's what the water of the Word is for. That's why we need to be in the water of the Word, and the Word needs to be in us. That keeps us abiding, because it keeps reminding us. I said it before. If I wasn't in the Word of God, I couldn't abide in His love. There's no way. It's so important, guys. It really is. You've heard it week in and week out, how Pastor Dave studies and studies and studies and studies to bring forth the Word. It's what cleanses you as a group, but you have to do that as an individual too, because you have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's not up to the pastor to work out your salvation. He has to work out his own salvation. Turn to your spouse. Turn to a friend. Tell them to pray for you. And get in the Word of God. And let the Word of God get into you, because it will come out. And you'll be surprised and stand at all when you're able to speak forth the Word to someone without any hindrance. Then the people will see the love of Christ coming from you. I love the sound of a baby. Praise in the Lord. Verse 9 is really... When I shared this yesterday at a wedding, it really resounded in my ears over and over again. I want you guys to sit with this, please. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. That's Jesus speaking to us. As the Father has loved him, He has loved us. There's nothing withheld. You know, this love, it has no beginning. It has no end. It cannot be measured. And it can never be changed. That's a good thing about Jesus. Because he doesn't change. His love for us doesn't change. It's always been from the beginning, and it will be to the end. Even unto our last breath. That was demonstrated by the thief on the cross. It may be demonstrated through loved ones that you've seen come to the Lord at the last second too. With their last breath. That's the love of Christ. It's the love of Christ that compels us. It's the love of Christ that causes us to react in such a way. Look at, if your husband or wife or your family member never loved you, how would you react? Would you keep on trying to love them? Or would eventually say, well, you made the decision, so I'm going to go my own way. See, because our love sometimes changes because of circumstances, because things that happen in our lives. But there's a love, I'm telling you, that looks past all that, and if you grasp a hold of just a part of it, you will see each other in a different way. And you will respond in a different way to the circumstances around you. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You got to remember that Jesus, when all the sins of the world were placed on Jesus, that was the point. when God turned his back on Jesus. That was why he sweat grape drops of blood. This love that Jesus had for the Father and the Father for the Son. Even death couldn't break it. But he knew for a moment that his Father would turn his back on it. How would you feel if you poured out everything towards your children, towards your husband, towards your wife, towards family members, did everything you could, and then all of a sudden turned their back on you? Verse 11, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. That's the only way that we can have, as people put it, happiness. This is the only way we can have continual joy. And it isn't just spoken. Again, he spoke these things, but he also demonstrated it. Is our actions towards one another in this room love? Because if love isn't the motivator of anything. You know, let me back up here. We have many ministries that partake in this fellowship. And I've seen the hands and feet of Christ and his love reach out to those, and even to myself and my wife in time of need. But we have many people in this fellowship. Get involved. Get plugged into something that is going to keep you busy about the Lord's business, so that you can be reminded towards each other of how much God loves you. I've watched new people come in here, and 6 months later, they are so excited to serve the Lord because they found out that Jesus loves them. And they have experienced it. And they've turned back towards the bride of Christ to show God's love to the bride of Christ, to the church. That's what the ministries are all about. It points to Jesus and the church. It's to edify and to build up. He gives gifts to each one of us. We just have to find out the gift. That's part of working on our own salvation with fear and trembling and making your calling and election sure. Sometimes we look at the commandments of God. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not. Well, I've never killed. You know, you ever watch, what's that evangelist's name that walks the street and asks anybody, have you ever killed anybody? No. Have you ever lusted after a woman? Well, yeah, of course. Who hasn't, you know, or whatever? Well, you've just broken commandments. That's the law. And Jesus fulfilled the law. His commandment now is to love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Verse 13. He calls, I don't call you servants anymore. I call you friends. Servant doesn't know what his master is doing. You know, we were a slave to sin. That's what a servant is, a slave. We were a slave to sin. Jesus set us free from that. Let us be a slave, if you would call it. But we know what he's doing. He's building the kingdom. And is refining us. Hey, look, if you guys feel like you want to give up because you think you failed too much and stuff like that, Jesus says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. You got to remember that. Not even yourselves. As bad as you are, as bad as I am, we can't separate ourselves. You're in this room for one reason, is to hear from Jesus. Maybe you were invited and you're trying to fulfill the request that has been asked of you. No. That might have been your motivation, but Jesus' motivation says, I got you here, now you're going to hear my love. Hey, Dan, what was that? Here's more of my love. We went to a pastor conference, and that's all this pastor got up there and said. You don't want to do this, but here's more of my love. It was good. I couldn't give the example that he did, but it stuck with every one of us. It stuck with every one of us. And that's all Jesus wants to do, is give you his love. He wants to build you up. And part of building up sometimes is breaking down. Breaking down the walls, the stone that we've built around our hearts from not hearing and experiencing God's love and truth in our lives. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I ask or command. Henceforth I call you not servants, for a servant knows not what his Lord does. But I call you my friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. That's amazing in itself. That, again, the God of the universe would want to share what he feels and thinks, and he wants to give us direction. He wants to give us his love to be able to make it through this life, because this isn't all that's left. We don't just die and go into the grave. You've been hearing it. There is a resurrection coming, and there is life in that resurrection, eternal life. And it's promised. It's promised by the one who loves our soul. You have not chosen me. Don't ever think that you chose God. But I have chosen you. That was why we should respond to that love. Because he first loved us. That you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. He will give it to you if you ask his will. That's what that is saying. The will of the Father is to shed forth his love towards people, towards each other. And if you ask for strength, you ask for his Spirit to work in and through you, for what God has done for you, you want others to experience. And then he goes on again, says, I command. These things I command you, that you love one another. You know, to keep God's love, to abide in God's love, is to protect at all times. That's what we're called to do. As a husband to a wife, we are to protect our wives. We are the protector, the shield for our wives. Friend of God, the creator of the universe, that's crazy. Wants to be our friend. Not just a God, but a friend. What does a friend mean to you? Think about that. And then magnify it a million times over. There's no one closer to you than Jesus. No, he reinforces again, command one another to love one another. It says, again, Jude, I'm going to go to Jude. If you want to turn there, you can. Jude chapter 1, which is the only chapter in Jude. Verse 21. That word keep that I mentioned earlier, this is it right here. To keep, to protect, to guard with all of our might. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. We have a promise waiting for us. Let's do our best here. Let the Word of God be in you. Let it be a part of you. You know, to abide is to, like being married. It's like being married. It's being one and not choosing to separate from that. Don't separate yourselves. Don't separate. And I know that the love of God, you can't be separated from the love of God, but you can separate yourself from God by not abiding. So abide in his love because he loves you. Then you can come up. Worship team. You know, there's in Titus, it tells us, and I encourage you, go home today. So I know the football games are on and other things are happening, maybe parties, things of that nature, but please go home and read the book of Titus. It gives us an example of how our demonstration of the followers of Christ should be. And to remember always that God loves you. He loves your soul. Each and every one of you in here, taking it personal. Take it personal. Go and meditate on that today. If you haven't experienced God's love, experience it today. Because he loves you.